With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. No propaganda, no lies, and definitely no BS. You're with Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk, TNT.
Hello, everybody. I'm really glad that you could join us. All my friends, welcome to another day at the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk, TNT. It's going to be a day at school for many of us. Learning new things is going to be part of this experience for sure. Looking over at the chat here, I see Penelope Pitstop's Ghost, who I've met. She's lovely. Dark Commission's in. We've had Shug. There's lots of people in here who are all ready to listen to a bit of conversation, and that's what we want. So I have an opportunity not only to introduce you to people who I have personally already learned from, but our guests who will be on in the second hour of today's show, but I will also be meeting new people who can help give me advice that will help us all, not just me, improve not only our personal lives, but the future of those we love too. My first guest will definitely be in that latter category. So we're going to do a lot of learning today. I'm really looking forward to today's show. We're looking towards the future. That's what we're doing all of the time. Although I spend most of my time uncovering the hidden histories, the reason I do that work is so that we can understand the motives of those who are defining our future. My work on Schwab was motivated by my need to understand the world which is being formed by the World Economic Forum elite, their push towards policy creation, the future society they're designing, and they are designing it in detail, and the technology they want to incorporate, not only into our everyday lives, but into our very bodies. That led to my work on Kissinger, which focuses on the birth of the prevailing world order and how they used the predictions of future technologies by futurists such as Herman Kahn to design policy which make that future physically manifest. My work on Junkerman, the Epstein associate, a tech millionaire who's was working alongside Israeli Unit 8200 companies such as Carbine 911, which was headed by IDF bigwigs like Ehud Barak and Pinchas Boukras, and planned to use the altering face of modern technology to change our relationship with the emergency services. That company in particular uses advanced tech to not only redefine the way we communicate with the police or the ambulance services, its implementation also changes the societal contract that we have with the very public authorities which we fund with our taxes. Whenever such contracts between the community and authorities change, there should always be dialogue and agreement between the people who are paid by the people and the people themselves. However, this is not how it works at all. In fact, they use technology to subvert these contracts without the majority of people even realizing that anything has changed at all. We are changing. The society we live in is changing. Our social contracts, which define our interaction with the wider world, are changing. And the unelected folk of the many policy institutes globally are the ones in charge. They are the only stakeholders, and we don't get any say in how they choose to reform our society. And they have grand schemes and plans that are well mapped out, logged in slide format. You can actually look at their training slides on my own channels, where you can go through and have a have a good look at what they're planning, the detail in which they're planning it, and what our lives will look like in the future, a world of mega cities and transhumanism that many of us don't even have an idea what a lot of it means. But every single thing they're implementing is going to change a major part of your life and a contract you have with the state as it is now. We must come up with alternatives. I've said this over and over again. This will be a running theme. I will introduce you to many people who will offer you an alternate vision. Whether it's the folks at Space Commune, such as Alex Dimitrios or Fox Green, or whether it's my first guest today. The Johnny Vedmore Show will aim at not only educating us all on what is currently happening, but also investigating the people who have an alternative vision for our futures. Now, why not give TNT a follow? We are on all major social platforms, including Facebook, X, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk, TNT.
Connecting the dots, painting the bigger picture.
They always have great conversation.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So looking into the future then, Elon Musk has said he will provide Starlink free of charge for schools in Brazil if the government follows through with plans to cancel a contract for the service in the country. Here with the story, joining me now is a man I missed yesterday, TNT news producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus. How are you, Ruckus? Did you enjoy watching the eclipse yesterday?
I did. I believe I survived. I don't think I turned into a werewolf, but since you fine folks can see me on camera, I'll let you be the judge of that. Maybe I forgot to shave this morning, so I apologize. There might be some stubble on the chin, but I am 100% werewolf free. I am happy to report. Yes, it was a fine event. Thanks for asking. However, it looks like I missed something. There's something big happening between Elon Musk and the country of Brazil. We have a bit of a brouhaha going on here that is evolving on the daily. I guess there's a little fight between Mr. Musk and a gentleman, we'll just use that term for now, by the name of Alejandro de Moraes. You know, I can do Mexican Spanish. I'm not sure if that's how you do Brazilian Spanish, but yeah, he is Brazil's, he's the president of their superior electoral court. He's basically a Supreme Court judge, okay? So we've got all that going on, and now we have this headline made it past my news desk today. So I thought, hey, what a fun way to foray into this little bizarre spat going on between Elon Musk and an entire country. So he's offering free Starlink because he wants to play hero, of course. I was shocked to hear this because I thought he normally only offers free Starlink for Ukraine to, you know, and other militaries to target people for destruction. But no, we're going to let the kids use it in their schools in Brazil. Apparently, lots of schools in Brazil already do this. This is in order to, of course, provide internet access to their citizens because Starlink terminals connect to the company's satellites in low Earth orbit and provide high speed communications. Yes, we all know. But apparently, the government of Brazil has reportedly announced they are planning to suspend all of their contracts with Starlink. I can't imagine why. This has prompted Mr. Musk to offer the service free of charge. Just yesterday, on April 8th, during the eclipse day, Mr. Musk said on a social media post, quote, Starlink will provide free internet for schools in Brazil if the government won't honor their contract, end quote. Yeah, this is starting to sound personal. As the reporting suggests here, this move does come amid a growing stoush between social media company X, also owned by Mr. Musk, and the government of Brazil. According to a post on April 6th, the global affairs team, this is on X, announced that they were, quote, being forced by court decisions to block certain popular accounts in Brazil, end quote. The Post says they have no idea why. Quote, we do not know the reasons these blocking orders have been issued. We do not know which posts are alleged to violate the law. We are prohibited from saying which court or judge issued the order or on what grounds, end quote. The Global Affairs team claimed that the company had been threatened with fines if they didn't comply with the order. They also said they were unable to provide a list of which accounts were impacted. Let's see, the post from the Global Affairs team said, quote, we believe that such orders are not in accordance with the Marco Civil da Internet or the Brazilian federal constitution, and we challenge the orders legally where possible. The people of Brazil, regardless of their political beliefs, are entitled to freedom of speech, due process, and transparency from their own authorities, end quote. This announcement actually came on the heels of a report by investigative journalist Michael Schellenberger and some colleagues, David Agape and Eli Vieira, titled Twitter Files Brazil. Yep. Mr. Schellenberger said that sitting members of Brazil's Congress and journalists were among those named by Brazil's highest court for censorship. He has since shared those findings on X. Mr. Musk announced soon afterwards that he had removed all content restrictions in Brazil, which would be in defiance of the order. As a result, Brazilian Supreme Court Justice Alexandre de Moraes opened a probe into Mr. Musk for alleged obstruction of justice after he challenged a court order requiring the removal of certain X accounts. In his decision on April 7th, Justice de Moraes said Mr. Musk will be probed, not by aliens, but by them, for alleged obstruction of justice, criminal organization, and incitement. And in a quick update on all of this craziness, Johnny, I just heard that Elon Musk is telling employees of X in Brazil to hide, find a safe place, because they are under threat of being arrested over all of this. So things are getting wacky. What say you about all of this, my friend?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of public relations about this. This is a bit of a PR jig, you could say, a little jig backwards and forwards. I'm not sure if the one judge has enough power and it could be challenged within the court. And I think it would be overturned if it was challenged within the court, especially seeing as there's so many different services that use Starlink nowadays. Now, I mentioned my Yunkerman pieces in the article. Well, Elon Musk actually bought out Yunkerman's satellite array that got joined into Starlink. And of course, she has links to Israeli intelligence and etc. So I would say, you know, be careful about using Starlink for other reasons. And maybe there should be an investigation on the data that goes through Starlink, whether or not it gets sifted by intelligence services and a load of other reasons. But I wouldn't, you know, be trying to ban it for these reasons. It seems very much to play into the hands of Musk's PR team, doesn't it? Where they can say, oh, these terrible censors are keeping us down. But in actual fact, you know, a lot of this is just a backwards and forwards, a power struggle, and a way, like I said in the monologue, is society is changing. And one of the ways it's changing is that we will be able to have access to more and more information. And it's necessary for the powers that be who want to restrict that information to do things like this. So there's element of PR. I'm not sure if it's going to last that long. It might be a little bit of a battle backwards and forwards, but you know, you could I think I may have said the same if I had been commentating on it about Rumble in France being banned, and that's still banned at the moment. So there is precedent for this sort of behavior. I think it's very intriguing that it's happening. But can you see this lasting long, or do you think that it's gonna be overturned very quickly?
I don't know, because I'm just starting to realize what's this battle that's brewing between Brazil and Elon Musk. So I need to, you know, bone up on this. But to me, my initial response, based on the two parts of the story that I focused on, the one where he's offering the Starlink for free for the kids, number one. And then number two, now he's trying to scare people into thinking, oh, my employees are going to get arrested in Brazil. The whole thing just smacks of nothing but a public relation like campaign alongside some sort of weird cover up. So I think maybe Elon might be worried about something and he's trying to get out in front of it, as we say here in America. I don't know if there's a similar expression out there in the UK, but yeah, they want to basically make sure that they look good before they're about to look really, really bad for something that they did wrong, Johnny.
Yeah, I've asked Simon Gardeck to come on the show. He said he will to speak about this, and he's actually based in Brazil and commentating on this at the moment. There's a few other people as well who have voiced their own opinions on this, but a lot of it, I think, does lead to there are lots of things that we don't see, and what bubbles to the surface isn't the underlying reasons why these things are happening. They're just the ways that they're going to use to ban these sort of services and to kind of censor and like I say, to create a precedent so that other countries can follow the same way. Well, thanks for that, Ruckus. You're going to join us in the second hour for some more news? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You betcha. I'll be there with bells on. This time I'll remember the bells because I forgot last time.
Yeah, all right. That sounds good. I like bells. I'm always a big fan of bells. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
TNT's Jason Allborn.
The woeful display of digital ID being passed through the Senate without debate. That's the way politics seems to work in the Albanese. Let's make everyone fair. Let's have a voice and let everyone have their say. Unless we don't want you to say anything, then we'll introduce misinformation laws, digital ID, and then go and do a presser on Good Friday with our little puppy dog to get everyone to happy clap along at Albanese, the impossible worst prime minister. I cannot remember a prime minister who was so disinformed and so out of touch with the Australian people and their genuine fears about what this man, who is almost a clown, is doing to us here in Australia.
Weekends with Jason Allborn on today's News Talk, TNT. A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Without CO2, the world stops breathing. CO2 sustains all life on Earth. Government, the WEF, and the elite believe humans are the carbon they really want to be rid of. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Bedmore Show. We're just trying to connect up our first guest for the first hour, but you know, I don't know if it's because we started talking about Starlink there, Ruckus, but you know, maybe they're watching us. Maybe they're trying to stop us from speaking about stuff because we're having a little bit of trouble. But we were talking, of course, about Musk and that sort of power, the power to actually shut off internet is something that we should be worried. While we're concerned about whether or not Brazilians are going to be able to be online due to some sort of prohibition in Brazil, we tend to forget that this power of one person owning this entire satellite array is a real negative. I mean, how do you feel about that, Ruckus? Do you think there's going to be, do you think that there's an issue with one man holding the keys to the kingdom?
Well, I do. And normally I would suggest that the vast majority of the population would tend to agree, but something took place in our society approximately 2 weeks ago. And by 2 weeks ago, I mean 4 years ago. Ever since the pandemic, like everybody lost critical thinking, they lost concepts like conflict of interests. These things just went out the window. They threw the baby away with the bathwater. They threw everything away with the baby and the bathwater, and they just gave up on, you know, being able to think for themselves. We live in a world now post-pandemic where the world's richest person is trying to present himself as a savior to humanity. Come on, people. We all have our bones to pick with, like, millionaires and billionaires. We say, oh, people, when you get to that, you know, you have that, you make that much money, you just, you don't care about human. You don't, what's the, like, they crawl over the homeless people on the way to get to their mansions. You know, we understand how, like, wealthy people, we have this idea. I mean, it may not be true for all people with money, so I'm not casting judgment. But in general, when you have, like, that much money, you don't really care about complete strangers. It's a giant sham. It's a publicity stunt, a public relations campaign. And Elon Musk is nothing but one giant public relations campaign. I've never trusted him. I've never thought, oh, yeah, he bought X so that he believes in free speech. No, he bought X because he has a plan to create an everything app. He wants to, you were just saying, one man owning everything. He literally wants to be the one man owning everything. And everyone just supports this guy like, oh, isn't it cool that Elon Musk wants to be the one guy who owns everything? And they're like, yeah, he's cool. But if you say, oh, well, Bill Gates wants to do that, they're like, oh, no, no, Bill Gates, he's evil. He's of the devil. He's satanic. What's the difference between Bill Gates and Elon Musk? Huh? Why is one better than the other? Is it because you don't like what Bill Gates gives you, but you really like what Elon Musk gives you? You see how you're falling for this trap already, people? There's always two sides. There's always a foil to the hero and the wrestling, but at the end of the day, they're both friends. They all go out and hang out with the same people at the same parties, eat the same foods, and drink the same adrenochrome. Oh, did I say that out loud? So yeah, I've never trusted Elon Musk. I don't trust where he's heading. With his everything app, with X, he's going to turn into the payment thing. He's got Grok now going out there. He's ticking everybody off. The people who worked very hard to build a following on Twitter or X, whatever it's called, they're like, oh, Musk, how come I have a free blue check mark? I don't want that. Now people don't trust me. It's all weird over there. And I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't trust Elon Musk for a second. Sorry, I went on a giant rant.
I'll
give you back the microphone, Johnny.
That's fine to go on an entire rant about this. I'm looking in the chat. I see Daniel, who I love very much, saying X is awesome. I'd be lost without it in Telegram. I just wish he'd do something about the bots. And it's true. You know, the platform itself has become better since he's took over. But that doesn't mean we should all bow down to Lord Musk. And when you mentioned another company there, Grok. Again, Nicole Yunkerman invested within Grok very early. It's the same intelligence-linked people behind. And what I tend to look at with Musk is I go back in time. You know, everybody knows this. I go back in time. I'm currently looking at writing a Spaceman series, which will be about Musk. And I've gone back, and some of the things I've discovered is number one is that Musk is mainly PR. So his mother, May Musk, was very good at PR. That was her main game. That was what she was employed in. And about 1997, she kind of concentrated on reforming her son into being an icon. And she did a very good job of that. Now, at the same time in 1997, she's also marketing crisp campaigns where the crisps are making people poop themselves. Which is amazing because they were cooked in a certain type of fat. But she was that type. She could change something horrible to being or disgusting looking to being something amazing and fantastic. And she did that very much. And you said about what makes the difference between Musk and Bill Gates. Well, is there any difference? So I went back in time and looked at the Zip2Net. I think that's what it's called, .net, which was one of Musk's original businesses. And now, if you go back to the Wayback Machine and you go back through the archives and you get back to the beginning, what you discover is that Musk, he was very early on working with Microsoft in a way that no one talks about. So if you look at his bio there, it says he actually went out of college and went and worked for Microsoft. That is not mentioned anywhere. So is there a difference between Bill Gates and Elon Musk? Because people have to understand, during that period, what was happening? Well, the start of the Global Leaders for Tomorrow program in the World Economic Forum ran in 1993, and one of the first year was an amazing roster of people. Everybody from Tony Blair, Angela Merkel, Viktor Orban, you know, some of the big names that we've heard around, Nicolas Sarkozy, all of these people became leaders. Richard Branson was there too. But also Bill Gates. And Bill Gates, I think, went away from that course thinking, well, we can make our own leadership programs. So first of all, what we need to do is find the youth who have potential leaders. And then Musk, within a few years, is working for Microsoft. Now, when I said this out loud, there was a really big, you know, the Musk fans are very, very, they're very serious people. They don't want anybody, if you really cut into something like the image that has been created for Musk, they will jump on you very quickly. And they were quick to say, oh, no, there's nothing there. There's no, that's probably not true. No, no, no. And then one person came out, only one person, and said, oh, he once said that he did coding for Microsoft. He once said that he did coding. But it all seems very appropriate. It seems appropriate for them to hide our future global leaders from us. Now, what do we see Musk's trajectory since that period, since the mid-90s? We see him rising, becoming a leader of everything. You know, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at him basically becoming the everything man, the everything app. Eventually, that's going to lead into politics. I can't see how it won't. So do you think, Ruckus, that we're going to see some form of like Elon Musk campaign, political campaign in 10, 20 years time when he doesn't, it's hard to make him look nice anymore because he'll be old and haggard and people will no longer be like, oh, he's charming. Do you think that we'll see a political rise of Musk as well?
Well, he definitely, yeah, I do. If we make it that far, because things could get so weird that instead he just presents himself as some sort of world antichrist leader, rips the mask off and says, oh, by the way, folks, we all live in a simulation. None of this is real. And I'm your God. That's what I'm more concerned about.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. Now, I'm looking back at the chat and I see Skippy saying X allows free speech for a reason. It is data mining, logging, and analyzing human behavior and psychology, algorithm and AI function better with more inputs. Now, one of the things that I've noticed about X since it's changed is it's become a better platform. Why? What has happened? It's got more options. What does that lead to? Different styles of conversation. And where does that conversation go? Well, it gets shoveled, I think, probably by Grok. Maybe Google AI has something, some sort of input. But basically, I think that, and we're seeing now spaces hosted by AI bots and spaces where AI bots will speak to you. Now, I know that Jason Bamass did a lot of work on Adrian Dittman, this character who appeared in the X Spaces all of a sudden and just took over the scene completely, was a very strange person. His sentences didn't make sense. The way he was didn't make sense. And I started to think that maybe he's an AI glove for Elon Musk and others. Listen, we'll get back onto this conversation. I think we should probably take a break for a short break for the news. So you're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
Hear about it.
We're depending on our congressmen.
Talk about it.
The people have to stand up and say enough.
Now, TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Special Counsel Jack Smith has urged the Supreme Court to dismiss former President Donald Trump's claim of presidential immunity in relation to the charges against him concerning attempts to overturn the 2020 federal election results. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis has requested the Georgia Court of Appeals to reject the defendant's appeal for a review of a decision permitting her to continue leading a significant racketeering case against former President Donald Trump and 14 others.
Sometimes a car comes along that changes everything. With innovations never thought possible, and features that make you wonder, how did people survive without this? This is that time, and this is that car. This is the world's first VWB. Equipped with transparent doors to eliminate reasonable suspicion, whatever that means. A 10-2 steering wheel that keeps hands visible at all times. We remove the glove box so there's no confusion about what the driver is reaching for. With a touch of a button, the ultrasonic biometric scanner displays the license and registration of the driver to ensure contactless exchange of information. With no trunk, nothing can be concealed, so therefore, there is nothing to search and seize. To ensure you will never be mistaken for breaking the speed limit, we've installed limited edition airless tires. And we removed the engine because, honestly, why risk it? DWB, the first vehicle of its kind, where the safety feature is the car itself.
I have a feeling these are the suspects in question. The two occupants look like the people involved in the armed robbery. I'm approaching the vehicle. Request backup. The driver matches the description. Because of a wide-set nose.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk. TNT Radio. TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's New Talk TNT. Tech issues have been sorted, so we can go on, stop talking about that evil overlord, Elon Musk. And we're going to be joined by my first guest, and he is someone who is looking for similar answers to me. And he's also from just down the road from where I am now, a place called Barry, a dark place full of magic, evil magic. He's misspent youth. He misspent his youth doing the only things available to most people living in South Wales, which is drinks, drugs, and partying, being the staple diet for most of the youth. Jason Lysatos, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, is a talented artist, radio host, activist, and public speaker, author of the book The Emergency Transformation of Human Beings. His obvious treacherous side saw him leave South Wales, and he's currently living in Devon, England, where he owns a gallery featuring exhibitions of his own work. You can find him on jasonlysatos.com. And hello, how are you, Jason? How is Devon looking today? I suppose total eclipse that we didn't get to see left it a post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Yeah, well, I'm still here, and I did everything everybody said. I got, you know, a ton of food in, and well, I didn't actually this time, but no, I'm still here. I've been sunbathing outside my shop today, and I've got quite a tan, so, you know, we're still on the planet, thank God.
Awesome to hear. Well, I think it's awesome to hear, probably. Some people are like, please take me off this planet. So for who have no idea that this talented artist exists, how would you describe the work you do in general, all of it?
I've probably too many things in one spacesuit, Johnny. And by the way, thanks for your show, all your great work, firstly. But I suppose we're in a strange place, really. People like ourselves that talk about the corruption and the problems of the world. I never used to talk about that. I always used to talk about finding peace and happiness and joy and strength and remembering ourselves and tapping back into that great power within ourselves to change. That's what I used to talk about, Johnny, but then I realized I couldn't just talk about that without talking about what takes that away, which is living in a casino asylum world gone mad, which actually makes you feel pretty bad in the first place. So I'm in between those two. It's a confluence now of what I talk about. I talk to try and help people to understand why they feel like they do, which is living in a world that's driving them mad. And people must face that terrible world, otherwise you're never going to get past it and create something different, you know. But I'm an artist in Devon. I got a book. My book's The Emergency Transformation of Human Being. And I talk to many people from David Icke to Noam Chomsky and everything in between. So just really going along with the awakening, if you like, or the raising of our frequency and vibration, and trying to get out of this revolving door that humanity's been stuck in, forced to be stuck in by the authority, or primed from when we're kids in school to accept authority. And consequently, we're looking for mums and dads all the time, and that comes in the form of politicians, priests, popes. We've got to get out of that paradigm now, and because we need to grow up, basically, and claim our own identity and power in order to change something and create a new world, really. That's what we're the midwives, aren't we, really, of a new thing that wants to be born.
Yep. How do you, how does one find strength, happiness, and truth in a world gone mad, though?
I think I can go on about this all night. I had a gentleman in my shop last week, and he's going off to do ayahuasca now, and he actually bought a rope to hang himself a day before that. So I think there's a lot to be said on this. Some people come in my gallery and say, oh, we need pain, we need suffering, because it helps us to grow. And I say, well, let me hit you with my umbrella then. And you've got to say, thank you, Jason. We've learned enough about pain and suffering, Johnny. But how do we move forward with this now? Well, I think people feel it deep in their souls now. I think we've come to, it's, I call it a dimension end that we've come to on a spiritual level. It's a dimension end and a physical level. We can't carry on like this anymore. We all know that the people who are, take Cameron. I won't go about Cameron today, but look what he's doing. He's just gone to try and get the money for Ukraine, the money for Israel. And it's an insane system which seems to be moving towards total destruction and madness. But as I've said to people many times, is that's part of the death. That's part of the phoenix of us rising up, Johnny. And people are like rabbits in the headlights. They really are. And their depression is choking off their tremendous abilities. They're stuck in a cycle of debt and fear, most people. And that keeps them sedated, if you like a chloroform. But the chloroform is lifting now. The smelling salts is reaching so many people. And I see that in my shop, Johnny, because people come in. But the main thing is to realize that we're in a place where we need to create new things now. And that starts with ourselves and raising our vibration, which is not always easy. But many people I know now are stopping drinking, for instance. And many people I know are wanting to get out of where they are. But that's not always easy, because this system is very brilliantly designed to keep us on this trajectory of worry, fear, debts, bills, and it's gone on for too long. And I do believe it's collapsing. And sometimes it's only when a sort of a prison carriage that's taking you from Cardiff prison. Not that I've been in Cardiff prison, but I know quite a few people who have. When a prison carriage is taking you from Cardiff prison to Dartmoor prison, yeah, if that prison coach it crashes, then that gives you a chance to escape. And I believe that that's where humanity sort of is. It's a pale analogy now, that as the system is coming and crashing and shackling us even further with what we got coming, the digital ID and everything, and the cashless society, then people sometimes only then start being really creative when they're being choked so much and drowned that then they've got to find something different, Johnny. So as I said in the beginning, I'm not one of these people who thinks, yes, we need the pain to grow. We've learned enough about pain, but ironically, that's what I believe is happening. The strangling hands of the system are really waking people up, and people can see the corruption and everything now. It's become glaringly obvious.
So you're talking about waking up there. Now, I ask everybody, I love to find out their own stories. So what led you, what woke you up? What led you to create your own show and seek solutions to our current societal malaise? What was your turning point?
I think as a kid in Barry, Johnny, I always felt, I would have probably felt like it wherever I was, but I felt there was something wrong about being funneled into a school system and just being sat in a classroom, being told what to do all day. I always felt rebellious against that and against my parents. So I think that's an important point to say, that someone said earlier on, I heard someone say, you only really grow up when your father dies, or when your parents died, and I feel that because my parents have, but the teachers take the place of our parents. So I think when you're put into a school system, most people feel it. I don't want to be here. I used to lion, go home. And then I used to run across the field and go home. I always knew that it was really sedating me and putting me to sleep and choking off my metamorphic glands, if you like, Johnny, you know. I knew it was a chloroform for me, and I hated it. And I think that was the part of it for me was I felt it very young when I was a kid. I always felt that there was something wrong with the system, but I could never put my finger on it when I was a young man, you know, young person. And then, of course, like everybody else, I got went into the drugs, sniffing, taking acid, and God knows what else. And that was my way, I suppose, of dulling myself from the boredom and the pain of being in a system. And I think that's what most kids are doing now, doing ket and doing stuff. It's nothing much has changed. And then eventually they give up hope and they just fall into the system, which is waiting there, preying on them, rent or mortgage, job, you know, that you often don't like. And before you know it, you're getting old. But then what I did with myself, I did have a big big experience myself. I started looking. I was so desperate that I started looking at other things, shamanism, Reiki, spirituality, and all those things. So I was searching for something deeper within myself, beyond the mundane flesh and skin, Johnny, you know. And I had some tremendous experiences, which proved to me, and it's not, I'm not just saying this to try and say that, it's not like the words, experience is experience. Words you read in books are words. They're the theology, the intellectual overlay. Real experience, as far as feeling something other than what this skin and flesh is, that's experiential. So I was lucky in a way, but my despair and emptiness forced me to look in other directions other than the mundane world and system we live in. And then, of course, you meet people, and then there's an old saying, you know, seek and you shall find. And the more you look, the more the path opens up in front of you. Like I'm sure yourself, the more you step onto this path of looking for something different and looking at what's holding us back as humanity, it's amazing that you start getting people coming into your path, which isn't a coincidence anymore. The word coincidence comes from the word coincide, a coinciding of events. So as you step onto this path, then things start taking place, and you get these lovely coincidences and people come into your life. And then, of course, I realized then I couldn't not talk about it. I tried to just keep talking with my own experience, Johnny, of finding great peace and strength within myself. I wanted to share that with people. That's what happens with most people. You know, Eckhart Tolle, for instance, wanted to die. He wanted to kill himself. Then he had this thing that happened to him, and he wanted to share that with people, and he's helped lots of people. So that's what I wanted to do. I never really wanted to talk about the terrible things of the world and the terrible corrupt politicians and the satanic stuff and how it's been designed to control us. I never wanted to talk about that, but I realized I had to, because I couldn't just talk about feeling good about yourself and regaining your strength without talking about what takes it away. I thought I was doing a great disservice to people. And then, of course, on board you go, and then the next thing is you're filming the events in London, getting banned off YouTube and being called a nutcase. But thankfully now, Johnny, many people are seeing that actually, people like us who were shouting from the rooftops years ago weren't. Oh, yeah, I am a nutcase. I'm an artist nutcase. I'm very, very volatile. But it's like, oh, wow, you know what? This system is designed for slavery, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse. If we don't resist it, it will keep your head under the water unless you try and look for a way out. You know?
Yeah. I really dig a lot of what you said. I mean, a lot when you're talking about running across the field in school. I think everybody who didn't appreciate the school system and the way they did schooling had a field, the field that you'd run across to get away from it. I know we did in my school. Otherwise, you'd have to go through the staff car park, and you don't want that because the teachers are all hanging around. But also, I mean, even if you go over to another culture, like I remember when I was researching for Wounded Knee, for the Searching for Stanley documentaries, there was an actual systematic use of schooling to break culture. So a lot of Indian children, Native American children, went to a school system which was there to basically whitewash their history, replace it with white history, and they would come back to their parents, and they would have lost a load of their tribal roots and their connection with their own tribes. And that is really seems to be a lot of what schooling is about. When you talk about someone coming in with a rope, you know, on the last leg, legs just before they try something else. It's same experience I've had, same experience I hear from a lot of people. So, you know, I think the fact that you found shamanism, I take it you found shamanism pretty early then.
No, not so much, but a lot later. But I had little whiffs of it. When I was in Cape Town in the 80s, I was in my 20s. And again, that's probably part of my initiation was I married a black person. Was involved with a black lady there. We fell in love, came back to England, went to Florida, got shot at. And in the 80s, you didn't see a lot of mixed couples, Johnny. So, I met people in Cape Town that were very special to me. There was one chap I met that could read your mind when you were speaking to him, you know. And I suppose he didn't call himself anything, but he was just a very gifted man who could see outside the box. He turned me onto a lot of good books like Auspensky, P.D. Auspensky, Gurdjieff. And these kinds of things, Tertium Org, and very complicated books to read. But what he was doing really was waving some smelling salts under my nose when I was ready. You know, they say when you're ready, people will come along. And then I moved forward, and all sorts of crazy things happened to me. I was homeless in Florida, living in a car. I was, you know, banged out on booze and smoking too much ganja. And these kinds of things make you depressed really and want to search for something different within yourself. And again, other things popped up then, you know, and I got back to England, and then I wanted to stop drinking, so I went and seen shamanic people. I wanted to write my book. I couldn't give birth to it. So was the old saying, listen, if anyone's out there wanting to write a book or paint a picture, listen to what I'm saying now. Perfectionism equals paralysis. Yeah. You'll never be perfect. You must begin. So when I wanted to write my book, I was pregnant with it. I went and saw a shamanic lady who helped me give birth to it and also helped me stop drinking at that time. And I got very interested in shamanism, and I started looking at it, and then I did some training. I don't like to use the word shaman because we're all shamans, Johnny, and we're all great gifted shamans and shamanesses, and that power has been choked out of us and we've forgotten a lot of it, but we can do tremendous things. So once I started looking into that, I started having other experiences. I got attacked by somebody from a distance, which was the most shocking thing in my life, which showed me that things like that can be possible, that we can affect each other from a distance, you know. And that I would never have believed that if you had said to me, someone can do that to you. I would never have ever believed that. But that did happen to me. So that opens up a whole nother path in front of me. So, and that's what I talk about in my writing and my talks, is that we can affect the future. We can affect reality with thought. And most people don't think that's possible, but everything you see now is a consequence. Most things are a consequence and a feedback loop and an outcome from previous decisions made on a global stage with lunatics like Cameron and all the rest of them, or on a personal thing. So I try and just remind people that we're so gifted, and if we can tap back into that power within ourselves and change the frequency and remember that, then we can change so much so quickly that we barely believe it. And nothing can stand in our way if we tap back into that within ourselves. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm looking over in the chat and I'm seeing that a lot of people are talking about this stuff. You're getting a lot of love there. With Wild Heather saying there is such importance placed on things material and having it all. Just get yourself a credit card and you'll have it all, which of course is nonsense. The best thing in life cannot be bought. Money is just a poor indicator of wealth. You know, there's a lot of people who are resonating with that story. We Fat Shug says, Jason, we are so much more than even people who say we are. What people say we are, so much more than our minds can handle. They stifle and poison us from the moment of birth and make sure you never find this out. I mean, that's one of the things. Do you think that you're a romantic? Because you're talking about the issues with mixed relationships back then. I mean, we're from the same place. So, you know, Cardiff was once upon a time a pretty racist place not everybody, of course. Lots of people are extremely welcoming in Wales, but the valleys especially. I mean, I know from my own story, I've got a sister who's black who I've never met because my mum was locked in a room for 9 months and forced to give away her baby. And we know from the Lynette White case that the Acties were the first ones who had their fingers pointed at them. Do you think your ability to get over such things and your romantic soul helped you get through and have this sort of point of view.
Oh, wow. Nice one, Johnny. Johnny Acty, right? The Acty brothers. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That was a big case. Oh, man, that was a big case. I used to go down the docks with, when I got back from Cape Town, I used to go down and see my old friend, Lee Bailey. He was on my show recently. His son died after the booster. Lee Bailey was a good old friend of mine. He's got a band called Bob Bailey and the Jailers. He's got a band that he knew all the actors and that. But I'm going off the subject. But yeah, no, I think the system's terrified of our abilities, Johnny. You know, I really, really do. It's terrified of our abilities, and it does everything. And you can read about this. You know, I'm not a great reader as such, but if you look at Jay Dyer's work. He's got shelves and shelves of stuff like this where they've actually talked about it. They have talked about it and written it down that we have to choke people's abilities off, because once you can tap into this, it's amazing, powerful. And like you said, you know, it can, our background can really, if we use it properly, it can be a surfboard, and we can surf that wave to a deeper place within ourselves, or it can destroy us. And I look, you know, I'm sat here now, I've got horrible stories I could tell people. You know, some stories I can't even mention in my book, Johnny, as I'm sure you've got, you know, some disastrous stories that have happened to me. But generally, they were created by me from previous decisions made without wisdom and vision. But often, because we've been taught that we haven't got those abilities, and but I think we're navigating is the thing I would say, to navigate your way. But sometimes maybe we've got to make these terrible decisions within ourselves to go through literal hell, and then we can reverberate and resonate with other people. I've got people coming into my gallery all the time that say they want to kill themselves. Literally, they would never tell anyone else, but they know my place is like a doctor's surgery. So what's said in there stays in there, although I've just said it, or I wouldn't name them. You know. So I forgot your blooming question now, Johnny. Sorry, mate. What was it again?
Well, really, it's about your romantic soul. I suppose, okay, right. So in the second hour, I'll be speaking to people about the power of good and evil, and speaking to someone who I really like, who's really pushing it forward, and the importance of confronting evil. And you've obviously got a good, romantic, kind soul. You're looking at things in the right way. Are you given hope that good will triumph in the end? Or is there never an end to this struggle? You know, what's your outlook?
All right. Well, a lot of people are saying that, no, it's got to, a lot of people have said to me in the last few days with the clips thing, they've said it's got to run its course. It almost seems like it's got a trajectory like a super tanker. You can't turn it for 2 miles. It's got such a momentum, this system, because of previous decisions made without wisdom and vision by the politicians and presidents, et cetera. But people say, no, there's no hope. It's got to collapse. It's got to destroy itself. And then out of the ashes will rise the phoenix of the new humanity. Well, I don't believe that at all. I believe that we're at a massive tipping point, which I talk about in my book a lot. And so in one sense, I am very soft and compassionate. But in another sense, I won't swear you. If you screw me around, I'm gonna stop you, man. You know, I do a lot of karate, and I'm still quite fit at 62. So that's really important to tell people. You know, there's a thing about unconditional love, especially in the spiritual development circles. But unconditional love is not the wise way. Appropriately presented love in each different situation is the wise way. I can love someone in my shop. I can hold them when they're crying. Well, but if they threaten me and try and attack me, I'm going to stop them and choke them off on the floor. So that is where we are, I believe, with the situation in the world at the moment. We need more people to stand up. That's why I keep going on about tapping into your power, getting out of the revolving door of weakness and standing up to these people. Now, of course, they're so seemingly untouchable. They've got the army and the police around them, Johnny, and it's like you can't get through there. But I still sounds really hatey of myself saying it again and again and again, but we've got to tap back into that magnificence within ourselves. And that means, unfortunately, that for a lot of people, that means stopping drinking, stopping smoking ganja, and training again. But I do think the smelling salts is accelerating. It's like an unraveling. It's happening really quick now. And I think that's because we're at a confluence. We are. In any time now, we're all going to be digitally enslaved. And what then? They'll shut your bank account. People like us, tonight we do this show, your bank account's gone. So that's coming. And it's slow, but it's coming. But that is where we are, I think, Johnny. We've got to really pull the stops up now within ourselves and become prepared, like great warriors, training ourselves really not to fight them physically, but to remember how to fight them like judo, you know. I could go on about that all night, about how you could do it that way, but I do truly believe that we've got to not get stuck in that big love thing. And I think that's where the spiritual communities, Totnes here and Glastonbury, fall down badly, you know. It's like, oh, no, love's going to find a way, Jason. You know, what you resist persists. Yeah, but what you don't resist persists as well, guys. Let me warn you. I think that's a fallacy. And more people are coming in now and saying, no, action and strength is gonna find our way. And the Buddhist thing, oh, you know, it's all an illusion. No, not if someone hits you with a stick, it's not an illusion. So it's time to be strong, yeah?
That's awesome. Listen, Jason, we could talk for a long time. It's been a good first meeting. I can't wait to meet up again and talk some more. When you're down in Cardiff, drop me a line. Next, thanks for coming on, my friend.
Hey, man. Good to meet a fellow Cardiffian. Thanks, Johnny, and well done for everything you're doing, yeah?
Thank you. Right, thanks very much for coming on. And we have to speak again at some time, but we got to go on now. This is it. We're on the Johnny Bedmore Show. We're rushing through. Do not go changing, rearranging, my friends. We'll have more interesting discussion when we get back. And I have a guest for you who I love from the bottom of my heart. So you're listening to today's News Talk.